but sometimes for myself, I know that I find gratitude for the good in me. I don't know about you, but I believe that sometimes that is similar for many of us, that it is easy for us to find the gratitude for the good in us, our strengths, our accomplishments, our successes, our triumphs. We are grateful when we see ourselves winning every race, when we see ourselves conquering every battle, when we see ourselves overcoming every obstacle. We find gratitude, a reason to be thankful in ourselves when we've reached a goal, when we have climbed a ladder, when we have carried out a vision, when we have propelled in our purpose. Gratitude or self-gratitude, gratitude for self, is easy when we're able to see the good in us. But I dare say that if we are truthful, that sometimes it is easier to see what's wrong in us than what's right. So even as we speak this language of gratitude, it is easy to speak the language of gratitude for what God has given us, for the blessings of people, for the gifts that God has bestowed upon us, for the miracles that we've been able to experience. But still, sometimes it's sometimes difficult to deal with being grateful for who you are. Because what happens when we lose? What happens when we fail? What happens when we give in? What happens when we quit because of our weaknesses, our insecurities, and our deficiencies tend to get the best of us? The greatest challenge of finding gratitude is when we are looking at ourselves in the mirror, when we have to face ourselves knowing that we aren't what we want to be, and when failure seems to have become a frequent option. It's when we don't feel good about ourselves or what we sometimes do or how we react in certain situations that we are challenged with being able to find gratitude within us. Because the truth of the matter, we are our hardest critics. We are our biggest judges. So it's easy for us to find what's wrong in us than it usually is to find all of the good. So being grateful for who we are is sometimes very difficult because of all the imperfections that are a part of who we are. Look at somebody, tell them, I really don't have it all together. I just don't. I know I look good this morning. I know I put on my best cologne. Just because I smell good don't mean that I am good. I don't have it all together. And Paul understood this when he spoke to the church of Corinth. He talked about how he believed that he was given a thorn in his flesh from a messenger of Satan that was only there to torment him. Paul goes on to say something that many of us may find to be a little strange. Paul says, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses so Christ's power can rest on me. It sounds kind of odd because many times we celebrate our good, but what Paul is telling us is that we've got to learn how to celebrate the bad in us. Many scholars have debated what Paul's thorn really was, but there's never been any clear explanation. No one knows if the thorn was physical, emotional, or spiritual. There's no name given to the thorn. There's no definition of what the thorn is. And I believe it was done on purpose because it allows all of us to relate to whatever our thorn is. Maybe your thorn is a temptation. Maybe your thorn is a physical disability. Maybe your thorn is depression. But I dare say that everybody here got a thorn. Something you've been praying for, asking God to remove, get rid of, but it's still here. And I don't know about you, but Paul tries to share with us that in the midst or whatever your thorn is, don't cry about it, boast about it. Don't complain about it, thank God about it. Don't worry about it, don't stress about it. But in the midst of all of it, tell God, thank you for your imperfections. God, thank you for my challenges. God, thank you for my strongholds. God, thank you for every flaw that I'm experiencing. God, I thank you not for the best in me, whew, but Lord, I thank you for the worst in me. It's the understanding that we are imperfect that gives us the chance to work on our weaknesses, our flaws, and our shortcomings. The worst thing we can do is ignore our inadequacies, neglect our issues, avoid our imperfections, and reject that we all got some stuff. This does not work in our best interest, but it just keeps us hostage when we try to hide from the things that we know are really there. Paul shows us that our imperfections are there for a reason. And when we acknowledge the power of our thorns, we are able to better understand the important part they play in all of our lives. And even in the midst of the thorn I have, I am thankful for my thorn. Because although I don't have it all together, I know who's holding me together. So I believe when we look at this text, there are three things that we see that can help us, that challenge us to be grateful for our thorns, to be grateful for our weaknesses and our imperfections. The first thing I believe we see in the text is we can't change what we won't embrace. Look at somebody, tell them, you got to hold on to yours. In verse 7 and 8, Paul says that he was given a thorn in his flesh and he asked God three times to take it away. Paul wanted his imperfection to disappear, but God did the exact opposite. He did not remove it, but God made it a part of who Paul was. And I don't know about you, but one of the greatest challenges with those things in us that aren't the best of us is that because we see them as imperfections, it's easier to ignore them and pretend like they really aren't there. It's the things that we usually aren't proud of that we attempt to hide. It's the things about us that make us feel weak that we attempt to cover up. It's the things that we don't want unveiled that we attempt to disguise with all kinds of masks so that those around us don't fully know the depth of our dysfunction and the degree of our flawedness. But we can never change what we won't embrace. We can't alter what we won't give our attention. We can't transform what we won't make a task. Let me help somebody here. That's the beauty. That is the beauty of the oyster. We learn the lesson from an oyster. It takes a piece of dirt that gets caught in it. But as much as the oyster would want to get rid of it, it does not throw the dirt away. What the oyster does, it clamps down and it embraces it and accepts it and realizes that the dirt has become a part of who it is. And although the piece of dirt is irritating and the piece of dirt is uncomfortable and the piece of dirt is annoying, the oyster itself is patient, forgiving, and tolerant with it until the oyster takes the dirt and makes it into a precious pearl. The very thing that was the worst of the oyster now becomes the best part of the oyster's testimony. The very thing that the oyster wanted to get rid of is the thing that now folks want out of the oyster because it's become a jewel. I'm talking to somebody that the thing that you want to get rid of, you got to learn to embrace it, hold on to it, and believe that if I'm patient enough, if I'm caring enough, if I forgive enough, if I sit with it enough, if I embrace it enough, that I can change it, and God will take the dirt in me and create pearls out of my junk. I don't care what you see in me. I know what you see. I know what you say. I know you call me dirty. But can I tell you, the fifth I'm holding on to, I'm going to hold on to it until God takes it and changes it and makes something great out of it. Because out of the worst of me, God can create the best. Look at somebody, tell them, embrace it. Embrace your challenge, embrace your weakness, embrace your imperfection. Stop running from it. Stop pretending like it's not there. Stop faking like you've overcome it. And be honest with yourself that you know you've got some stuff. But I'm going to own my stuff because God's going to take my stuff and transform my stuff and make my stuff into something I never could imagine. You got to embrace your imperfection. The second thing you have to do in order to be grateful for your imperfections. I'm trying to help somebody here to leave out of here different than the way you came in, because somebody came in feeling invaluable. Somebody came in feeling low. Somebody came in feeling like because of the stuff you got and the things you've been through that God still can't use you. But I'm trying to help you get past that, break through that, and tell God, I thank you for it. Second thing is, you got to, help me early, because I'm going to preach as hard as I can. I feel like Anita Baker this morning. I'm going to give you the best. Y'all know the song that I got. The second thing you got to learn to do in order to be grateful for and thankful for your imperfections, you have got to feel your prescription. Look at somebody, tell them you got a prescription that needs to be filled. Okay, let me help y'all here. Let me help you here. I recently went, I had a physical, Reverend Wells, and my doctor told me that he was giving me a prescription because he said that my lab work showed that I was deficient in vitamin E. He shared with me that the prescription would be a supplement to what I was lacking, and that it would provide me with the essential nutrients to help improve my overall health. He said, because where I'm supposed to get it from, I'm not getting it. So he had to give me a supplement. In other words, he prescribed me something that would make up for what I was lacking. Okay, yeah. Okay, let me help y'all here. Verse 9, Paul says, the reason God did not take away his thorn was because God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, what God was actually telling Paul is that your imperfections allow me to prescribe the grace you need to make up for the deficiencies in your life. That grace is not just sufficient for you, but grace is also a supplement for you. Whew. See, we always look at grace as what God gives us after we messed up or done something wrong. But that actually is God's mercy, not God's grace. God's grace is what God gives to us, although we don't deserve it. So grace is what is given to us freely to assist us in living lives that are pleasing to God. Grace is the supplement that God gives us so that we can overcome our imperfections. So our gratefulness for our weaknesses is really connected to our dependency on the prescription of God's grace. In other words, I know what I don't have, and I know how low I am, but I thank God that every morning I take a dose of my grace, and grace tells me that the thing that should have killed me, that I wasn't strong enough to handle, grace says, no, yes, you will. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I just came to tell somebody, stop letting your imperfections have control over you, but take the grace that God has given you to be who God has called you to be. Look at somebody, tell them, I've got grace in my cabinet. That's what you'll find in my medicine cabinet. Next time you go to the doctor and they ask you, are you on anything? Tell them, yeah, I'm on grace. How much grace do you take? I take as much as I can, as many times as I need it. Is there anybody here that can tell God, I thank you that out of my imperfections, I realize how good your grace has been to me? I need your grace. That's my supplement. I need your grace. That's what's going to help me. I need your grace. That's what's going to cover me. I need your grace. That's what's going to strengthen me. I need your grace. That's going to give me peace in the midst of a confused mind. I thank you, God, that everything I need is right in your... I just need a dose of your grace. Y'all, I'm almost done this communion Sunday. But look at somebody, tell them, I got grace. I got grace. I thank God that it's unlimited grace. In other words, once he's given me one prescription, I don't have to get another refill. Every time I call on grace, grace is right there for me. Every time I ask God, I need more grace, God says, you already got it, baby. Because everything you need, I've already given it to you. I thank God for my... thank God. I thank him for my grace. Y'all trying to figure out how I made it where I made it. It ain't been me. It's been God's grace. You trying to figure out how I survived what I survived. It ain't been me. It's been God's grace. You wonder why the streets didn't swallow me up. Because God said, that's my son. Take your grace. Your grace. It's sufficient. Your grace is more than enough. Your grace is all I need. That's why I thank him for my drama. That's why I thank him for my mistakes. That's why I thank him for my weakness. That's why I thank him for my disabilities. Because if I didn't have it, I think it was me. But I know how jacked up I am. If it wasn't for God's... I got grace. I got grace. Yeah. Tell somebody, I got my prescription. You gotta get yours. But the same God that gave me grace, can I tell you, he's got more in store for you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I thank God I've got God's. I got God's grace. The last thing, the reason I can be thankful for my imperfections, my weaknesses, my mess, my disabilities, my challenges, is because I understand that the power belongs to God. Look at somebody, tell them the power belongs to God. Let me tell you, one of the greatest challenges with imperfections is that many times we give the enemy the power over our stuff, over the weak in us, over our mess. So because we give the enemy the power over our imperfections, we always feel like we're defeated. And so when we give the power of our imperfections to him, the enemy then uses our imperfections against us. And that's why some of us come into churches, even though God is moving, we don't feel moved. We feel ashamed and unworthy. We feel regretful and undeserving of all the blessings that God desires for us, because the power that the enemy uses to keep us is keeping us hostage to our habits and slave to our sins and captive to our crimes, because we don't understand that in the midst of my imperfections and my weakness and my flaws, we miss that the power belongs to God. Okay, y'all still not feeling me. In verse 7, Paul gives the power to Satan because he says that there was a thorn that was placed in me by a messenger of the enemy to torment me. But then in verse 8, God speaks to him and says, now, let me help you understand. I know you want me to take it away from you, but I'm not going to take it away, because I'm using your thorn to remind you that my grace is sufficient, and that the power of the perfection is made in your weakness. And so then Paul shifts whose hand the power is in, because the once Paul was talking about the enemy. Now Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Y'all just missed it right there. In other words, when you sift whose hands you put your imperfections in, it changes the power that you're connected to. When you give your imperfections to the enemy, he'll use it against you. But when you give your imperfections to the Lord, he'll use it for you. If you give your imperfections to the enemy, he'll use it to hold you down. But when you give the worst of you to God, God will use it to lift you up. I'm just trying to help you understand that the only difference between the power of what your imperfections have over you is deciding whose hand I put my imperfections into. Is there anybody here that understands that when I give it to God, that God will take the worst of me and say, but I've given you the power to rest on me and not your weakness. So everything I need to overcome, everything I need to conquer this demon, everything I need to put up my best fight is not linked to my power, but it's linked to the power of the God that I rest on. That's why I love Paul. Paul said, he said, listen, he said, I'm going to boast in my stuff. I'm going to give glory for my stuff. I'm going to shout a praise for my stuff. Folks going to think I'm giving God glory for another blessing, but I'm giving God glory for another challenge, for another weakness, for some more trauma. Why? Because in the midst of my challenge, in the midst of my insecurities, I can still rest on the power of Christ Jesus. Is there anybody here that's leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus? I said leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. I just wish I had five folks that could say, it's me, oh Lord. I'm leaning on your peace. I'm leaning on your joy. I'm leaning on your strength. I'm leaning on your love. I'm leaning on your comfort. I'm leaning on your deliverance. Everything I need, everything I'll ask for, I'm leaning, I'm leaning, I'm leaning on Jesus. Standing all over the church. I'm leaning. I dare you right there in your seat, while you're standing, just lean. I don't know what your thing is. I don't know what your thorn is. But tell God, with my thorn, I'm going to lean. With my insecurities, I'm going to lean. With my weaknesses, I'm going to lean. Everything I need, God will provide. Everything I need, it's in his hands. I'm leaning. I'm leaning. I'm leaning on Jesus. I'm leaning. I'm leaning. I'm leaning. It may look like I'm falling. I'm just leaning. It may look like I'm about to bust my head, but I'm just leaning. Because God will pick me back up. Every time I feel like I'm up against the ropes, I'm just leaning. God will give me what I need. Every time I feel like I can't make it another step, I'm leaning. God will give me everything I need. I'm leaning. I'm leaning.
Anybody leading this morning?